is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Purport. There are three degrees of covering of the living entity, by which his pure consciousness is obscured. This covering is but lust under different manifestations, like smoke in the fire, dust on the mirror, and the womb about the embryo. When lust is compared to smoke, it is understood that the fire of the living spark can be a little perceived. In other words, when the living entity exhibits his Krishna consciousness slightly, he may be likened to the fire covered by smoke. Although fire is necessary where there is smoke, there is no overt manifestation of fire in the early stage. This stage is like the beginning of Krishna consciousness. The dust on the mirror refers to a cleansing process of the mirror of the mind by so many spiritual methods. The best process is to chant the holy names of the Lord. The embryo covered by the womb is an analogy illustrating a helpless position, for the child in the womb is so helpless that he cannot even move. This stage of living condition can be compared to that of the trees. The trees are also living entities, but they have been put into such condition of life by such a great exhibition of lust that they are almost void of all consciousness. The covered mirror is compared to the birds and beasts, and the smoke-covered fire is compared to the human being. In the form of a human being, the living entity may revive a little Krishna consciousness, and if he makes further development, the fire of spiritual life can be kindled in the human form of life. By careful handling of the smoke in the fire, fire can be made to blaze. Therefore, the human form of life is a chance for the living entity to escape the entanglement of material existence. Dhumina brihate vanya yato yatadashomalena cha yato dena vrito garbhas tata tenedam avrijam. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this loss. Om Jnana Tinirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam. In this section of Bhagavad Gita, is discussing the very important topic of lust. In the modern age, much importance is given to lust. The whole atmosphere is permeated by lust. Everything, even soap and car tires, are advertised by increasing people's lust. Krishna here is also talking about lust or material desire. One reason why in modern society there's so much emphasis on this sexual desire, it's become very much part of Western culture, and now Western culture is the whole Earth culture. It became very much part of Western culture due to the theories of Sigmund Freud, the father of psychotherapy, who opined that the whole of the human psyche rests on sexual desire. And actually, when Prabhupada was discussing the philosophy of Freud, a philosophy, you can't exactly call it a philosophy, it wasn't even presented as a philosophy, but as an umbrella term, we can say the word philosophy. So when Prabhupada was discussing it, he said actually Freud was right. That not only in human society, but in all species of life, all living beings are impelled by lust. However, Freud's mistake was thinking that lust is the ultimate principle. And the ultimate principle is Krishna and love of Krishna. But because he was a materialist, he could only see the happenings of this material world, and he, by examining the situation in the material world, he came to the conclusion that the ultimate motivation for all human beings, actually it's true for all living beings, is lust, which is true on the material platform. Because he was a materialist, he could only see the material platform, he couldn't see beyond that. And because he was a materialist, he thought that we should try to improve our material situation, and we can do so if we remove all the obstacles in our brain, in our consciousness, in our id, as he called it. Remove all the obstacles in our id, which we could roughly translate as ego, for enjoying ourselves. He examined the cultures of the world, that there are so many sexual taboos. For instance, that you would find in all cultures at that time when he was doing his research, there is restriction in dealings between men and women. And people feel wrong if they perform some sexual activity which is considered socially taboo, such as adultery. So he was saying that actually these are all imposed taboos and we should do away with them all. And in this way we won't have sexual frustration and then we'll be happy. This is a very simplified version of Freud's speculations. But it's given rise to it's largely responsible for the total degradation of modern human society, in which there's no restriction in dealings between the sexes. Of course, still there's something here in India, in some parts of India, to some extent. But that's also going very quickly. So Freud, his analysis in one level was correct, but he didn't know the ultimate truth. He didn't ask the right questions, that actually what is the purpose of life. As a materialist, he was very intelligently concerned with examining this material condition and thinking how to improve it without thinking that anyway we all have to die in a few years. So we should think that what is beyond death, or even if you're a complete materialist and think there's nothing beyond death, then why should we worry anyway? Why should we be so concerned with this life anyway? And some other materialists came to that conclusion. Some of the existentialists, these are all different classes of insane souls. Everything is finished at death, so there's no point in life, and the only question left is whether to die now by suicide or just wait for it to happen later. This is their philosophy. I'm wondering why people in the West come to Krishna consciousness if you're subjected to such empty, foolish philosophical ideas as this. Sometimes people ask them, why you even became a Hindu? I didn't become a Hindu. I didn't go from that nonsense Western philosophy to your nonsense Sai Baba and all this complete, not going from one nonsense to another, not I'm converted to a Hindu. But rather we want to understand what is the actual fact that we can understand from Bhagavad Gita as it is, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are all His parts and parcels. It's a very simple thing to understand. So the question may come, why don't we understand? Because that is described in this series of verses by Krishna. He's describing, he's telling Arjuna, Arjuna asks, Atakena prayuktayam papam charati purushaha anichana pibarshneva baladiva niyojita. Why do we do wrong things even though we don't want to? We know something is wrong, still we do it as if we're false. And Krishna says it is because of lust, karma, which is sometimes that's understood to be sexual desire, but karma in general means all kinds of material desires. Of which, as Freud has correctly analyzed, sexual desires are the strongest. So Krishna is describing, he's analyzing this topic of lust, not in the same way as Freud has analyzed. He's analyzing in the sense, as we'll see in the next verse, Krishna says, Avritam jnanamitena jnanino nityavairina. That this lust or the desire to enjoy this material world covers our real knowledge. And therefore, material desires are the enemy of knowledge. Knowledge means what? To understand that we are eternal living beings, part and parcel of Krishna. It's a very simple thing to understand. But we find even very highly intelligent people don't understand it. It means they're intelligent on the material platform. But on the spiritual platform, they're completely bereft of knowledge. They are foolish. That's why we see there are so many bogus incarnations and cheaters in the name of spiritual life. And people think this is very spiritual. But it's not at all. It's completely bogus. It's so bogus, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. That it's so foolish you want to laugh, but then you'll cry to see that people are spoiling their lives and going to hell by following these bogus incarnations. And often you'll find very intelligent people, materially very intelligent, who are votaries of some Baba or some rascal, and they're convinced that he's God. Why is that? They think this is spiritual life to accept such a thing. Why are they so foolish? It's not a difficult thing to understand that these bogus incarnations of God are simply bogus. They don't have any of the symptoms of God. God means he is supreme in all respects. But these rascals, they're completely controlled by material nature. Then how is it that people cannot understand? They're very intelligent. They apply their intelligence in atomic research and so many things. But when it comes to spiritual life, they're so foolish. Why is that? Because their knowledge is covered by material desire. They're not serious to understand spiritual life. Even though they may apparently be very good, but their being very good, so-called, is just another manifestation of their enviousness of Krishna. In other words, they deal with others nicely, they smile, they're polite, but they don't want to surrender to Krishna. That means they deal with others nicely just so that others will deal nicely with them, and they feel, yes, I'm very nice, I'm very good, I'm very polite, I'm very high class, I'm very good. But they have no motive to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, they may be very polite, they may be very moral, they may be very good, but if they don't surrender to Krishna, then if they refuse to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if instead they go to some cheetah, or they consider themselves ultimately equal with God, then their description is given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita
Namam Dushkriteo Murha Prapadyam Tena Labhamaha Maya Pranitagyana Asuram Bhavamashritaha. Krishna says, those who do not surrender to me, they are all rascals. This is Krishna saying, to make it very clear, because avritam jnanam etena, our knowledge is covered by illusion because we are bound up by material desires. Therefore we cannot understand clearly and we tend to be sentimental. We tend to think that if someone has got some orange cloth on and they smile and they hold their hand like this and they say, don't worry, God will bless you. And then we think, oh, very wonderful person. Even if he's talking all nonsense. Even if people are worshipping him as God. And we think, oh, it's very nice person. Because we have no knowledge. Because we are covered by material desires. Because we're envious of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna speaks very clearly. There are four kinds of rascals, Krishna says, who do not surrender to me. They are classified as fools, lowest among mankind. Those who are apparently very intelligent, but whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. And those who are out and out demons, openly envious of Krishna. So Krishna is speaking very clearly, because actually the truth is very clear. But we don't like to accept the truth. You'll find many people are very nice, very polite, they're vegetarians, they don't drink alcohol, they're so good and they're so nice. But if you say that you should surrender to Krishna, then they'll say, oh yes, yes, very nice. And then if you push, you must surrender to Krishna, then they'll become angry. Why is that? That means they're not actually good. Their so-called goodness is just a bluff. It's just a show. Because they have no interest in surrendering to Krishna. They're envious of Krishna. So these lusty desires by which we are forced to take birth again and again and again, these are our enemies. Krishna is telling us, our enemy is the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. You can get so many books on how to develop your personality, how to deal with each other in a nice way, which is okay. That's all right. It's better to deal with people nicely rather than roughly. We accept that. But we shouldn't think that this is all in all. Simply smile at others, be nice, say, whatever you do, that's good. Actually, if we say to others, if we're so much concerned with being so-called nice to others, that we say, yes, yes, whatever you do is all right. I'm okay, you're okay. Everything is okay. Then, actually, this is demonian. This so-called being nice to others, just tolerate everything. Oh, yes, he's eating meat. All right, very nice, very good. Just, you know, be smile and be happy. Don't disturb others. But they're disturbing the goats. They say, well, I don't kill them, but you're paying someone. You're hiring a murderer. Just like this Mahatma Gandhi. He was asked at the time of Indian independence that now you see, we got rid of the British. They're all beef eaters, cow killers. So now we have Hindustan. So now we should outlaw cow slaughter and beef eating. He said, well, what about the Muslims and the Christians? They have their religious belief. We have to honor that. He could have made it banned. But in a false sentiment of being nice, being kind, being good to others, he committed the whole of India to grossly sinful activities. And they think he's a very religious person, great saint. But because of him, he could have stopped it, so he's responsible. Only because of him, so many animals are being slaughtered. He has to take responsibility for that. So we shouldn't be sentimental. We have to understand everything by the message of Shastra. What is right and what is wrong, we have to understand from Shastra. Because our own consciousness is covered by material desires. We don't know what's right and what is wrong. We may think, this is right, it's very nice, we should be nice. But what does being nice mean? Being nice means to follow the instructions of Krishna. Arjuna was very nice to Karna, he killed him. He was very nice. Why was he very nice? Because he followed Krishna's instruction. If he hadn't done so, it would have been a great injustice to Karna and to the whole world. To follow Krishna's instruction, that is proper behavior. And not to do so is improper behavior. That's why Yudhishthira's chariot came down. Not because he told a lie, but because he didn't like to tell a lie on Krishna's order. He was reluctant to follow Krishna's order. That was his mistake. Everything has to be understood. What is right, what is wrong in relation to Krishna? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are all his servants. But forgetting to serve Krishna, we have come to this material world. And we have concocted our own ideas of what our morality and ethics and proper behavior without understanding what Krishna wants us to do. So whatever we do, it may be apparently very good or very nice, but if it's not satisfying to Krishna, then it's all simple. It's all a cause of bondage in this material world. On the other hand, if we do something which is apparently wrong, but it satisfies Krishna, then that is the highest pious activity. Of course, this all has to be understood very carefully. Devotees are not fanatics. Devotees, they know how to live in this world and satisfy Krishna. Sometimes that may mean going against social convention. But devotees don't deliberately go against social convention. If it's absolutely required, they may do so. But otherwise, their aim is not to be rabble-rousers. But they understand the point that life is meant for satisfaction of Krishna. And anything else that we do, if it's not for the satisfaction of Krishna, then it is simply a cause of bondage in material life. So here Krishna in this section is discussing lust and lusty desires, how they cover our intelligence. Practically he's telling Arjuna that, Arjuna, you are asking this question that we don't know what to do, and we may think we know what to do and still we do the wrong thing. Practically in his reply, Krishna is telling Arjuna that because of your wrong desire, you are declining to follow my instruction. That is the cause of your inauspiciousness. You are thinking that I shall do what I think is right, without understanding that what is actually right is to follow Krishna's desire, even if one's own desire is different. This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. We have to understand what is Krishna's desire and act according to that, not according to what our own personal desire is. So this has to be understood very carefully under the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, because being covered by personal desires, we may speculate what we think is pleasing to Krishna, but we have to be trained to understand what is pleasing to Krishna. Otherwise, there's the danger that even in the name of Krishna consciousness, we may perform activities for our own sense gratification. This is the term Prabhupada often used, sense gratification. If you read Prabhupada's books, you'll find this term again and again and again, sense gratification. That means you endeavor to satisfy our senses independently from satisfying the senses of Krishna. It is not that the senses are not to be used, but rather the senses are to be used in the service of Krishna. There's no question of stopping the activities of the senses. We must touch, taste, smell, feel, hear, think, because we are conscious living beings. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jagrati shtatra karma krit. We have to do something at every moment because we are living beings. Even if we're sleeping, still we're doing something. The respiratory system is working, the mind is still working. So we're always doing something. But the secret of life, how to become free from material desires, is to engage all our desires in satisfying Krishna, all our senses in satisfying Krishna. Again, this has to be done very carefully under the direction of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, lest we misunderstand what is actually required for us to do. Or if we try to prematurely act on a platform that we are not ready for, then again, that may be an obstacle in our spiritual life. In other words, if we hear that, well, we have to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, so immediately we give up all our material responsibilities, but we're not in a position to do so, even spiritually. We're not in a position to fully surrender. In other words, if we don't take it gradually, if we're not ready for full surrender and we try to artificially come to that platform, that may be the cause of us falling more deeper into Maya than even when we before started. That's why we have to take guidance and very carefully execute Krishna consciousness so that we can gradually become free from material desires by engaging all our senses in the service of Krishna. Sarva padhivinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir ucchate. Bhakti means that when we are free from all mundane designation, when we no longer identify ourselves with this body or anything in relationship to this body, and our consciousness is completely pure, and in that state we engage all of our senses in the service of the master of the senses, who is called Hrishikesh, Govinda, Krishna. That is actual devotion. So we can gradually approach that stage by understanding that material desires, they are actually my enemy because they cover my pure consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I have to take up the process of Krishna Bhakti Sadhana, understanding very clearly that I have to become purified from these material desires and surrender to Krishna, and therefore seriously take up Krishna Bhakti, following the process of sadhana. And in this way, we can become gradually purified from material desires and become fully situated in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions about this? Any questions in relation to the class?
By careful handling of smoke in the fire, spark can be kindled. By careful handling of smoke in the fire, spark can be kindled. This means that this Kali Yuga only Grihastha life is.
Only in what?
Grihastha life is.
Only what? I don't understand the connection.
Actually,
you say that.
Yeah, the smoke is compared to the lust.
Yeah.
The fire is compared to the lust. So, by careful handling of smoke, the fire can be kindled. So.
By careful. I see. So, the question is that in the purport, Prabhupada has given the analogy that, or he's explained Krishna's analogy, that smoke is compared to lust, and Where there's smoke, there must be at least a spark of fire. So by careful handling of the smoke, then a fire can be kindled. So the question is then, we have to handle the love. So does that mean that only in grihastha life one can take to Krishna consciousness? No, it doesn't mean that. Actually, one of my books, which has just been reprinted after being out of print for some time, Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness. So this explains how you don't have to be a grihastha to be Krishna conscious. It's also helpful. If he's actually to be a grihastha, otherwise he's simply an animal. No, how to handle the lust means that that doesn't mean it has to be indulged. That means that, just like Narottam Das Thakur explains, kama krishna krishna kamarpane, that kam, lusty desires, they can be channeled into Krishna karma. In other words, if we have desire, so instead of desiring to enjoy this material world, if we change our desires of how to serve Krishna, then it's not necessary to enter household life. Oh, someone. In yesterday's lecture, Maharaj, namely myself, was saying that our problem is that we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. But as far as sex pleasure is concerned, it has always been a thing to be performed aloof from God and God consciousness. My mind and psyche is not able to reconcile the presence of Krishna consciousness during sex pleasure for fear of getting psychological problems. Please explain. Well, modern age, it's just a completely animalistic, but it doesn't have to be like that. For further information, please consult a grihastha, senior grihastha devotee. Ahankar, another one from Anonymous Das Amok. Excuse me. Ahankar and desire for fame are very subtle and look impossible to overcome. What is the solution? The solution is chant Hare Krishna and don't be a rascal. That's it. Ahankar, I will be famous. It's anonymous that, so I can't ask who it is. I want to remain anonymous. Well, if I wanted to ask who it is, if you reveal yourself, you can become famous. Among the group here, you can have the pleasure of being famous or infamous. So now you're going to renounce the desire and remain anonymous. So I'm just going to ask that, now what do you want to be famous for? How do you want to be famous? People do all kinds of silly things just to become famous. Someone ate a car. There was one person who ate a car, that means he got a car and he had it all reduced to dust. And he used to eat a pinch of it every day. And after about 5 years he declared, I ate one car. And he had his photo taken and he was in the newspaper. He was famous. So you can think of something like that if you want. It's not very intelligent. Just think how to serve Krishna. Only think how to serve Krishna. These are all enemies. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, di, abhishta. Eshab na chere, kishe, pabe, radha, Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, all these different things. As long as we're absorbed in these, then how can we attain to Radha and Krishna? Famous, big star, have lots of foolish people praise you. What is the benefit? And understand Krishna. This is the real need of my heart. Fame won't make you happy. You find people who do become famous, what happens? They work hard, they want to become famous, and then when they become famous, what do? They just try to lock themselves away from everybody. You'll find George Harrison, he recently died, but he hated being famous, because it's such a hassle. Wherever you go, people can't deal with you like a normal person. Wherever you go, people are you George Harrison? Oh, take a photo with him. You can't get any rest. Wherever you go, people are coming and harassing you. It's just a nuisance being famous. It's like anything else, material. Looks good. You think it's nice, but when you actually get it, it's just disappointing. So give it up and surrender to Krishna. Bhagavan ke naam ki jab karte ka ruchi hum kaise fayda kar sakte hai. So Bhagavan ka naam, Bhagavan se abhinna hai. Or Bhagavan ka swabhav hai ki Bhagavan anandamay hai. Krishna ye naam ka arth hai jo sabko akashan देते हैं तो भगवान का नाम का ऐसे ही स्वभाव है कि यदि हम हमेशा वो नाम जपते हैं तो आपने आप से रुचि आएगी भगवान का नाम चिन्मय है और हम इतना बड़ा बदमाश होने के लिए तो यदि हम ऐसा अभ्यास करेंगे साधन हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे तो धीरे धीरे मन साफ हो जाएगा फिर हम रुचि
मिलेंगे
दूसरी बात है बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण कि नौका का नाम अपराध है तो यदि हम भगवान का नाम जपते हैं और साथ साथ अपराध करते हैं तो भगवान का नाम जैसे कि आग में एक हाथ से यदि हम तेल डालते हैं और दूसरे हाथ से जल तो खाली धूम हो तो दो हाथ से तेल डालना चाहिए मतलब एकदम सीरियसली कृष्ण भक्ति अभ्यास करना चाहिए यानी हम जप करते हैं हरे कृष्ण और एक ही समय टीवी देखते हैं तो कृष्ण भक्ति नहीं होगी हरे कृष्ण ओ ग्रेट बॉल ग्रेट रन हरे कृष्ण इट्स अ सिक्स Is not being a rascal or not being a rascal in Krishna's hands. If you even ask a question like that, you're a rascal. Don't even ask a silly question. You are the rascal. Krishna's asking you not to be a rascal, and you're saying, you're making me a rascal. Then you become more of a rascal. Krishna gives you independence. You choose to serve him or not. And if you blame him, then you become more of a rascal. Krishna is telling you surrender to me, and you don't surrender to him, and you're saying it's his fault. He's doing everything he can to save you. And not only do you not do that, but then you blame him also. Then you become worse. Okay, not connected with the class. Who is Lord Ayappa? Well, if he is at all, he's a servant of Krishna. So better worship Krishna. What is his position? He's a servant of Krishna. Is there a mention about him in the Puranas? Maybe. Not in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not as far as I know. Some people say, why be interested in Ayyappa? We don't find anyone, I mean, it's not even, this Ayyappa worship, it's not even slightly in the mode of goodness. It's completely in the mode of, I mean, some things are slightly better than others, but Ayyappa worship, just chant Hare Krishna, really. No need for all this. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay. There was some program to worship the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's books. So the best way you can worship them, you take them and read them. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that by studying this Bhagavad Gita, you worship me by your intelligence. So you can take these books. Now I think the 7th canto of Bhagavatam came in Tamil. Is it?
The 6th.
Okay, so if you don't have it up to 6th, get it, read it, preach it, live it, make the Bhagavatam your life. There's so many books. As usual, I'm announcing, I have some books also. On Prabhupada's order, I'm writing books. I think many of you didn't see this Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness book. So, this was just reprinted after a long time being out of print. So, as I was saying, it's very good for grihasthas also. At least many grihasthas told me. And actually, as far as I'm seeing, the grihasthas, they appreciate it more than the brahmacharis. Because the brahmacharis just think it's fanatical. But the grihasthas, they appreciate that actually it's a fact. They have experience of how that if we don't control our senses and mind, this is all some practical, take all practical guidance for how to control the senses and mind. So this is included in here. So fill up your house with Prabhupada's books, and if you have a little space, you could take some of mine also.